cults over here.
Cults over there.
There are cults
everywhere.
And we're going to tell you all about it with a fairy tale twist.
Welcome to
Once Upon a Cult.
Once upon a time, in a world played by people with mommy and daddy issues, there was one who could save us all. Teal Swan.
The chosen one.
The smartest.
With all the psychic powers.
I'm not saying that. Oh. Hi, this is Once Upon a Cult. We back, y'all.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm Sean.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
So today we're talking about Mary Teal Bosworth, which is shortened to Teal Swan for reasons.
Yes. I think one of her husbands actually used Swan as a last name.
Okay.
She had four husbands.
Oh, geez.
You can't find any information about that. She has in the way that she uses the internet, I feel like, to help further her cause, she also uses it to scrub all real history of her as a person.
Smart. Yeah. Smart.
She's also a parent to a son.
Yeah.
Yes.
We were laughing on Wikipedia under personal life. It says, the parent to a son.
Yeah.
So much information there. We will say this up front. It is July 3rd. We are recording this early. You may hear fireworks and fire alarms and a very nervous dog.
Yes.
No, the dog is not Rachel. It's Marley. I don't think you're a dog. I love you.
But the fireworks are scary.
All right. Shall we get into this?
I think we shall.
So Teal Swan was born in the nexus of all years, the year that comes up all the time, the year of our Alan's here, that's right. Rachel and I were born in this year.
Well, that explains a lot of things.
Yeah.
1984. I bet she's really sad that her birthday is June 16th and not April 8th, because can you imagine the hijinks that she would get up to on the day of the total solar eclipse of the sun?
She would.
She'd have everyone doing their unaliving visualizations.
Are when she's 50, if she was born on April 22nd, her birthday would fall on Easter again, like the day she was born.
Yes, second coming.
She was born in Santa Fe, New Mexico, but raised mostly in Logan, Utah.
And she was born at 7:42 a.m. So she gives us all the details to find her, like, star chart. I found that interesting. We know the location she was born, the date, the time, the year. We can look up and see what her rising signs are.
Let's do it. This is exciting. So from a young age, Teal says that she could hear people's thoughts, see dead people, see dead entities and creatures from beyond. So right away, her parents are like, well, shit, this isn't good. Let's take her to a bunch of healers.
Yes, a combination of therapists and also people that were a little bit more woo, people that were woo within the Mormon church, because as we all know about Utah,
yep,
there are a few Mormons there.
When I had to go to Utah for work, just to put this into perspective, we went out to dinner, and the server asked, what church are you part of? What Mormon church are you part of? That's, like, that common there that they just, like, off the cuff ask you that.
And you're like, the Satanic Temple.
The Satanic Temple. Blah.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. I didn't want my food spit in.
Oh, yeah. True.
So, Teal actually says that she hates spirituality because of her upbringing. A direct quote is, my mother drugged me to every therapist you can think of, and I received every single diagnostic. Schizophrenic, bipolar, borderline, everything.
Everything.
What do you think of this, Alan?
That sucks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we have, like, an interesting pattern here, because we see in a lot of these leaders, they may be a little schizo.
They may be a little bit out there.
Yeah, because what's his name from Waco?
Oh, yeah.
He was schizophrenic also. David Koresh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think then the other thing we also see is, you know, maybe they're a little bit sociopathic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, maybe a little bit narcissistic tendencies.
Just a little bit?
A little bit. But yes, aside from her mother dragging her all around, she also says that from the age of 6 years onward, she was actually the victim of ritualistic abuse by a satanic cult and had a long period of trauma and abuse in her life, which is why she is able to be so helpful nowadays to people that are trying to face their traumas and grow through those.
Yeah. And she says this took place from the age 6 to 19.
Correct.
Yeah. And part of it was that it was a family friend. He was an older gentleman, like I think in his 60s, mm-hmm. who told her if she tells anybody, kill her dog.
He said he'll threaten her family's life, basically.
Threaten her family.
Yeah, she still told anyone. And mm-hmm. he kept her captive in a pit, too.
Yeah, there was... Yeah. A lot that was said. I guess there was in two of her books, she made it part of her bio where she talked about this trauma. In the bio, she called him Doc in quotes because that's not his real name.
Is it Happy? Sleepy?
Dopey. And she said that he was a father of one of her friends, a veterinarian, and one of the days when she was heading home from her friend's house on her bicycle, he followed her and grabbed her off of her pink huffy bike and raped her on the side of the road, and that he was actually a member of a satanic cult and a sociopath with multiple personalities who was living a double life. So during the days he was very charming, engaging, very involved within the Mormon church, but then in his other double lifetime he was like leading a satanic cult and rituals, and that she was both tortured physically and sexually. We need to add a trigger warning at the beginning of this episode. Make a note of that. In satanic rituals, that she had pictures taken of her that were used to create porn, that she was sold to men for sex out of bathrooms, that she got electroshock therapy, went through isolation where she was just tied up and left somewhere for days on end. She was also drugged using ketamine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that she also was hunted in the wilderness, that he would set her free in the wilderness of Idaho.
Wow.
And track her and hunt her down. And that she also helped lure other children to this cult who were then killed. There are no known missing children or murdered children that have been found to this day as a result of this. And I will say this is a really challenging subject because, like, I am super into victims being heard and believing victims. But there is a lot in the stories that Teal tells that make it very hard to believe her stories. There's a lot of contradictions. There's a lot of just over the top kind of situations going on. And I honestly don't believe it necessarily had everything to do with coming from Teal doing this. One of the therapists she was actually taken to as a child, her name was Barbara Snow, and she was actually well known as a therapist based in Salt Lake City, Utah. And she was a part of a group of people that were trying to bring satanic panic, like, and satanic abuse into the forefront. And she specifically worked with children finding these repressed memories that they had, putting people on trial and, like, trying to get stories from these kids that could be used against people in trials to get them accused. And so she had a whole framework where she would work with to disclose sexual abuse. And she said there were four different stages. There was the denial stage, there was the disclosure stage, which had two different parts to it, which would, at first there would be a tentative disclosure where they're like, well, maybe this happened. And then there was an active disclosure stage where they're like, well, yes, this definitely happened. And then there was a recant stage where they would say, oh no, that didn't happen. But at the end, they would finally reaffirm it. But a lot of her interview techniques are very similar to what you hear used in false confessions. Like, they would question a child 50 times the same question until they got the answer they wanted. So they'd be like, no, I wasn't abused. No, I wasn't abused. No, I wasn't abused. Time 50, they're finally like, yes, I was abused, because they're trying to get out. Yeah. They're like, if I tell this person what they want, maybe they'll let me go. And so there was, she was definitely got in trouble, this therapist, because she, it found that her interrogation techniques were not great. And then also that the stories of her children, or the children that she dealt with, were so different from what all the other therapists were getting, that it often pointed toward like falsified situations. And so this was someone that Teal went to as a child, where this is someone who is actively known to be getting, kind of creating these false memories in children. So I honestly think that having this woman in there as part of her origin story is not a good situation. It probably led to a lot of what she truly believes now, and has led her in some of the ways that she behaves with her followers now.
I would like to give you a wholehearted thank you.
You're welcome.
For tackling that, because I had a lot of those thoughts, but I didn't know if it's my place to say. But I completely agree that, yeah, I don't want to take away from her story. But I don't know, anytime you throw in a satanic group to me, it automatically is a little like triggering in that, like, I feel like they know if you say satanic, you're going to get a certain response from certain people. You know what I mean?
Especially in somewhere like Utah.
Exactly. So when I heard that it was part of a satanic ritual, and like, I don't know, I've never heard of a satanic ritual where you rape a 6-year-old child.
I'm a personal fan of the satanic church, and I don't. A lot of the things that are out there, like, they are the boogeyman. They are kind of, I feel like, what maybe more of like the Christian faith wants you to fear about these people, when really actual satanic practices are very different, and they don't actually even believe in an actual Satan.
Yeah, well, I will say
there are some that do. But yeah, I don't know. It's I feel like it's more like a fear tactic used by other aspects of religion.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, I wholeheartedly believe there could have been, you know, the 6-year-old man, like, that maybe could have happened, but yeah, everything around it.
Yeah, definitely. As far as like a young girl being raped, that to me, completely believable. It's when it gets all to these extra bigger than life situations.
Getting hunted.
Yeah.
In the Idaho wilderness. it's a lot, and it's interesting.
Yeah. So after her childhood, age 19, Teal is kind of disillusioned with her family, with her upbringing, with the situation that she was in. So she kind of goes out on her own, and she meets Blake Dyer.
Oh, Blakey Blake.
Oh, Blake. He was 19 when they met. I'm not sure how old she was, though, when they met. Did you come across that? She had to be around that age, though, right?
Probably around the age.
Mm-hmm. So they started a weekly show together called Ask Teal.
Yes.
Yes.
And they were dating at the time, too. Yes. They had started dating, but then they only dated for like a year or so and broke up, but they still stayed very close and continued to live together.
How nice.
How nice. Just like me and you.
We never dated.
What? I know.
I mean, you asked me to take off my jeans in bed.
I mean, they should not be worn in bed. They are jeans.
Some salami. Ew.
Yuck.
So, awkward Rachel and Sean discussion aside, let's carry on with our story. So we see that she quickly amasses a following. A lot of her practices are about reliving or confronting that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So what were some of the stuff that you noticed?
Well, it's interesting that you talk about like confronting trauma when like she's never, it sounds like she's never really confronted her own trauma. Like, she's never named her abuser, you know, and it's just interesting how she's kind of like running away from her story. her past, but telling people to confront theirs.
Yeah, and part of what is alarming to me is it's usually a third party who brings out the trauma. Like, she had a mom spirit come into, what's his name? Blake's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And Blake's wife spoke as the mom and basically said, like, I'm so sad, you have to forgive me.
It was very, like, nothing deep. It was just like, it's like one of those, like, I forgive you, or like,
yeah,
you know.
But we've also seen with other practices that somebody will take on, you know, an old relative, or they'll take on a person from the past. And in one case, she said, I felt that you were touched, or I felt this, or I felt that. And then that's where the narrative.
While I was channeling this person, mm-hmm. I felt that I abused you.
Yeah.
Sort of situation. And, like, I mean, that's so... And these people are in a very vulnerable state, and this person just was in a place where they said they were channeling this person. And we saw you see a lot of reactions. In case we didn't mention it, The Deep End is out there on Hulu.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of kind of details showing this work there. And we saw situations where the person that was being helped was like, really? Like, no, really? But then, like, eventually they kind of come around to it. Like, there's maybe not everyone does, but there is a good handful of people where they're later telling their stories and they're like, yeah, when doing this work, I found out that this happened to me as a child. And it's also similar to that kind of false confession situation, because, like, you're being led by the interviewer instead of, like, actually being believed with the story you tell. Like, you can say, this is what happened, but then if the interviewer says, no, that's not, go deeper, like, give it another go, you're going to keep trying until you get the right answer for them.
And that's probably the tactic she learned from her past therapist of these false things. Yeah.
Well, and what's really smart and scary about it, because we heard from, I think it was a J name, I can't remember off the top of my head, I think it was Jeremiah or Jared, who was a past member with Teal Swan.
Was he a bullfrog?
Yes, he was a bullfrog.
He was a really good friend of mine.
Wow. He talks about how in these sessions, he was convinced that his dad molested him. So when you are convinced of something like this, the first thing you're going to do is probably stop talking to that person. Mm-hmm. So if you're told that your parents were bad to you, you're cutting them out, mm-hmm. drawing you closer into the leader. But I felt really bad for him, because he talked about how he didn't know what was real anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's sure that his dad didn't molest him, but he's like, there's so many false memories. I don't know what my childhood was.
Yeah. Crazy.
Crazy.
But yes. So part of these explorations are part of a system that Teal has developed called the completion process. She has, I think, two different books out on it. And then also kind of does workshops on it. She also certifies people to be coaches in going through and teaching this completion process. And it's an 18-step visualization that walks you through an emotional trigger towards an early memory, and then enabling you to resolve your unmet childhood needs with your adult perspective. Which, honestly, on the surface, this isn't horrible. There are tons of ways that you can go to a therapist or, you know, someone that has been trained in reality by a certification, not a certification program, a licensing program that does this professionally in a very safe way, because there are a lot of things that we can resolve from our past traumas or learn from and need to move on from. But I think a big challenge is the fact that Teal has no formal training. She just claims that this is what it is and it works. And she's giving that training to other people, even though she isn't trained
right,
in it.
Yeah.
Which kind of creates, I think, some problems.
What?
Well, like, all of her videos, like, all that thing that she teaches is all online, too. So anyone mm-hmm. can basically access it.
Yes.
Yeah, which is completely dangerous.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it's something like, oh, are you being gaslit? And that's not so bad. But then One of the practices that her and her team use is they're very aggressive with their SEO, where they are trying to identify people, especially people that are depressed or contemplating suicide. So they are trying to make it so that if you search something about suicide, her video about suicide will be one of the first things that comes up in your computer search. And so then you go and watch this video, and it's a very interesting take, because what Teal believes is that if you are suicidal, what you need to do is like kind of follow through on that. You need to imagine doing it, visualize what it would be like, what it would be like afterwards. And there actually, there's been studies that show that if you're with other people and you all are having suicidal thoughts, you can actually strengthen that for each other instead of like helping them. Like seeing that in someone else doesn't necessarily just give them comfort as someone that they can identify with, but there is a situation where you can go both push each other further down that road, basically. And so I think that's one of the biggest pushbacks that Teal Swan gets, is that people really think she's very unsafe with the way that she talks about suicide.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with a lot of what you said, because when you watch The Deep End, a lot of what they show is Teal having these large conventions or gatherings where you bring all these depressed people into a room where it's like a culture. You know, when you have all the seeds and you're watering it, it grows. And it's also, to me, very unhealthy, because she pulls one person up on the stage where they tell their story and she helps them break through it in a way. But it's like you're becoming a superstar because you're depressed, and like you're getting attention because you quote unquote break through it on stage. Mm-hmm. So it fosters this idea that I have to be depressed to like fit in with these people. And on top of that, what she does, which I think is great for some people, not all, mm-hmm. is she challenges you to, if you're going to kill yourself, kill yourself. Just do it. Why aren't you doing it? And like, I think what that does for most people, because I don't think a lot of us have talked about suicide at some point in our life, but we haven't. I'm trying to be so careful here. We may not have committed, and we may not be like completely serious about doing it. Mm-hmm. So if you're not really there, you're just really depressed, and somebody says, just do it, you kind of confront those feelings and realize, I don't want this. Mm-hmm. So I think for a lot of people, it's kind of like, well, shit or get off the pot. But there have been people who have killed themselves because she just tells you flat out, just kill yourself. She's said that online to people on video.
Well, it's interesting because some people, because there's been cases where, like, you know, someone's girlfriend or someone that they like has told them, like, kill yourself, and they get prosecuted. But, like, I feel like this is almost the same situation, but nothing's happening to her.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting.
Yeah. And there's just something very dangerous about putting a message out there where you can't know who's going to be seeing that message. You don't know how at danger someone might be of actually committing suicide. And if you're out there doing SEO to get in front of people that are searching about this, it just feels very, very predatory. And from Teal's point of view, it's because these are the people that she's here to help. But there are some situations where it hasn't helped the person.
Yeah.
And we don't know exactly who she's affected too, because like you can't, I mean, you're not going to like search everyone's like search history if they commit suicide, you know? So
yeah,
it's scary.
So tell us what SEO is for all the listeners and me.
Search engine optimization.
Okay.
So SEO is the fact that like with Google and things like that, like companies, you can bid on certain search terms to be higher in the ranking. So whenever you search for something and it pops up at the top and it says ad next to it, you know, this is someone that has paid money to come to the top of the list and be shown to you. And there are some like niche things where you can get up that way without paying extra money for it. I'm sure that suicide wasn't one that needed a lot of money invested in it in order to kind of get high up there in the rankings. But yeah, so basically making sure so that when you go into Google and you search, like, how do I commit suicide, that Teal Swan's video on suicide will be one of the first ones to show up.
So Teal, just to go along with the danger of encouraging suicide, she has this way of thinking, and I've actually gotten stuck in this way of thinking. I've gone through my depressions that we're going to reincarnate anyway. So if you kill yourself, you get to start over fresh. And she very much believes this. I almost wonder, is this like her way of being guilt-free if somebody does kill themselves, that they're coming back anyway?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a way, a belief that, like, really helps cement her in the action that she's taking. She's very committed to these actions that she's taking, and she just has no awareness of the danger or why it might not be the best thing. You can see that in any sort of interaction she has around these. She actually used the story of, I believe her name was Leslie, one of her first clients that Teal worked with, is one of the people that did commit suicide. And what is interesting is that she will bring that up in talks, where she will say, one of my very first clients, she committed suicide, and like there'll be like a little gasp or like a sound response, and then she's like, but don't worry, because you know what, she was instantly reincarnated. And I know this because I can see energies and I can see souls. And so I know she's better now. She was able to hit her restart button and she's fine now. And that is such a danger.
Yeah.
But she uses that. Like, she uses that in her speeches about it. And I think there's actually a podcast on Gizmodo that kind of goes and follows Teal Swan, and actually the person that did, I'm trying to remember his name, it starts with a J, and it's very,
these J names.
it's a unique J name. And he actually went to her Costa Rica retreat location and had like calls with her and everything like that. And he was speaking also with Leslie's husband, who was still there after Leslie committed suicide. And he is talking about, like, to the husband, he's like, how can you not find Teal even a little bit responsible? Because she was feeling depressed, she went to Teal, she sought like counsel from Teal, and then on top of that, Teal uncovered memories, repressed memories, that her father had been molesting her. And then also she encouraged her not to take her meds that she had been on. And she was on one of those ones for antidepressant where when you come off it, it's really dangerous. Not Paxlovid. That was for COVID. I took that. It started with a P. my goodness. But and it's one of those ones that's really dangerous. When you come off it, you need to really be in touch with your doctor about like lessening the dose and how you come off it. Otherwise, you can go into a huge depressive spiral afterwards. And so he's like, how can you not hold Teal responsible for that? And he's like, well, no, this was what Leslie wanted. And now Leslie is reincarnated. And like, he still talks about Teal with reverence and sparkle in his eyes.
That's crazy. I did go down a rabbit hole.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I looked up reincarnation.
I love it.
There's certain rules and things that I didn't know, but Alan knew, but he just never told me.
Rude.
I know. No, just kidding. So apparently, because I always was under the impression that suicide can affect your reincarnation, but not to the effect that I had believed. I wanted to share this. So there's been studies where they've worked with children to look into their past lives. And there's a lot of studies about like dreams or memories that these children have, or even sometimes the mother may have dreams of the child's past life when they're in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. But I bring this up because it said that a lot of phobias are birthmarks were gathered from past lives. So, like, one person they found slit their throat in a past life, and now they had a birthmark across their throat. Or another person was afraid of guns because they had shot themselves. So,
well, I mean, we all know I am very afraid of drowning because clearly I was on the Titanic. So,
and I'm afraid of getting eaten alive, and I hate sharks because I think I got eaten alive by a shark.
It happens to many people. Yeah. Many people.
And you're our good friend Titanic too.
Yeah, I was on the Titanic with my love Rachel.
We were married in a past life.
We were married. Connected.
Oh my goodness, that was another thing. When Leslie's husband was kind of telling when he first met Teal, I guess they met each other in a dog park, and he just felt really drawn to her, not sexually, but just very drawn to her spiritually. And Teal told him, like, well, yeah, because just looking at you now, I can tell you we were married in a past life. We were Eskimos together. And I died when a group of us went on a whaling trip and I drowned.
I wonder if they ever Eskimos kissed each other before.
Oh, Eskimo kisses.
I bet they did that to celebrate their love.
I feel like in a past life, though, when we were lovers, Rachel, that you were the man and I was the woman.
I think so. I think that seems accurate.
That seems very accurate.
Still the case.
It tracks.
Ralph and Shauna. But now I'm here with Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hi.
Upgrade.
Upgrade. So should we talk about the non-negotiables?
Sure.
So, okay, actually, let me start here. I think this is really funny because Teal's people for this documentary hired a third party and very lovely, nice lady who came
Private investigator.
So that she could determine if they are, in fact, a cult or not, since they have so many accusations of being a cult, which I think is funny. Like, if you have to prove you're not a cult, like,
maybe be a little worried.
So it's really funny because this lady, it probably starts with J, I don't remember her name.
I love her, but...
yeah. She, at first she was interviewing people. She's like, this is great. How could this ever be misconstrued as a cult? All these people are so happy. And then she spoke to a non-member, an ex-member, who told her about the non-negotiables. And that's when she was like, oh, oh my. Ooh. And she actually compared it to Pandora's Box. Because one thing that Alan and I were talking about, how awkward that she's hired by these people. So if she has anything negative to say, they're paying her to say something positive. Yeah. You know, so that she felt awkward because the non-negotiables are you can't put family first. Teal comes above all else. The community is focused on whatever is best for Teal. Relationships need to be controlled for the best interest of Teal. And your life won't resemble normal. She's very intense on, like, we do not live a normal life.
We do not. Which I think helps... Everyone wants to feel special.
Yeah.
And I think that when someone is telling you, like, we are unique, like, we are not the same as, and especially when it's like everyone's out there doing a hive mind and we are actually kind of learning, we're growing, we are not normal. I think that's something that really helps people have something to believe in where they're like, yes, like, I'm part of a movement.
Yeah, nobody understands us. We're so different. Only we understand each other. Don't talk to other people because they don't understand you like we do.
And I think this gets used in a lot of different organizations and cults out there. And I will say this non-negotiable list isn't handed to just anyone who comes across Teal Swan's teaching. So there are levels to involvement in the Teal Swan world. There is that you find her on YouTube and you watch her videos there and find stuff that's really great. There is then day-long workshops where you can attend that workshop. And that's kind of more like the one where they're in a ballroom and they'll pull someone up one at a time in front of the audience and you have big breakthroughs with them. And then they have like longer retreats. They'll have like a 7-day retreat. And it looks like now those... they're happening probably in Utah again, like close to where she's having her base. Prior to the pandemic, she actually had a retreat center down in Costa Rica known as Filia. But it looks like upon the pandemic, the last retreats there definitely happened like at the very beginning of 2020. So I think that's why they kind of came back now. But those are like week long. And that's where she goes very much more intense with a lot of these kind of role playing situations where they have people channeling and they're really confronting people to bring out these really deep traumas. And then above this level is Teal's inner circle. And these are people that have kind of been through all these levels, and they have basically given up a normal life to be part of Teal's main team. And a lot of them are not being paid. They, when they're like, are you being paid? When they're like, well, I get room and board. And I mean, I get you, the housing market right now,
yeah.
Apartments are expensive. So that is worth a good amount, but also you're sharing all those accommodations with all these people. But it's these people, this inner circle that is handed these non-negotiables, and you are unable to grab this group or grab this, join this group until you read these and agree to them.
That's great. Yeah, it's very Nexium. Because, yeah, you could be in Nexium and take classes, but until you get closer to Keith, that's where the danger was.
Yeah.
Mm. She took some notes.
So, yeah, and I find some, like, what's really interesting about Teal is the way that she's kind of an influencer guru. She's really approaching things in a way using social media to get her message out there, which is very different from some other organizations, especially if they're focusing on how special you are to be a part of it. A lot of times they're a lot more like centralized and you can't just go and learn everything about it on the internet. So she's definitely up there using all the different socials to get out there. In 2011 was when she started that YouTube channel with the help of her friend Blake. And now she has 1.31 million followers on YouTube and it has over 840 videos that you can watch.
Wow.
And she has 633,000 followers on Instagram and 768,000 followers on TikTok.
Wow.
Even more on TikTok, even though that's been around for a shorter period of time. And it's really accessible in the beginning. These day-long workshops are like $100 or less to go to. And then as you kind of get up there further and further, you can take online courses that are like $400, and then the retreats are usually a couple thousand dollars to attend. And I'm really sorry, you guys, we missed the latest synchronization workshop. It was on June 26th. So it was here in LA. We missed it. Now she's over in Europe, so we're not going to see her for a little while.
I'm going to say something.
What?
I know they say she's, like, charismatic.
You don't see it?
I don't really see it. She just kind of talks like this all the time.
Yes, I feel like when she tells her stories, she really... she talks like this, is what it sounds like to me. And I actually had a friend introduce me to Teal Swan's ideas a couple years ago, and there were some videos that I found. I'm sorry, I'm not going to keep doing this. There were some videos that I did enjoy at that time. Obviously, I was in a very kind of emotionally abusive relationship where I was being gaslit and fucked around with. And so, like, I watched some of the videos that had to do with that, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, that's a thing. But then there was something about her that didn't quite sit right with me. So even though my friend was like, oh, check her out, she's so good, like, I couldn't keep getting into her. I didn't like her. And she's like objectively a beautiful woman and definitely speaks very clearly and with intention and comes off with a lot of confidence. But there was something that I did not really like about her. So I didn't get very deep into her videos. So it was really funny to me when we read Amanda's book and Teal Swan was brought up in there. I was like, oh, Teal Swan, really? And then all of a sudden this Hulu documentary hits here and I was like, Teal Swan is a cult, really? Because I had just seen like that surface level and didn't really go further into it to realize kind of how much was there behind it.
Yeah, and that is where I first heard about Teal Swan is from Amanda's book, Cultish, which is a fascinating read. Amanda Montell, that's her name.
Yes.
It's a very good book. She mentions Teal very briefly, but she talked about how she's like an internet sensation and people have committed suicide. And I added her to our list, but then with the documentary coming out, Rachel and I were like, put it on the list first!
So, yeah, like we had it just very vaguely on there because I didn't, like, it didn't send up alarm bells for me. I'm like, yeah, I watched a couple of her videos once. Like, what?
You know, she comes across to me as like a bratty child, mm-hmm. where she takes control of the conversation. She twists it the way she wants it to go. Because there was a whole thing in the documentary where a guy says, who's your mentor? And she says, I don't need a mentor. I don't need a mentor. I am the highest being.
Why are you saying that I need a mentor?
Yeah. Which later we find out she does have one. And then whenever somebody says something she doesn't like, she just says she doesn't want to talk about it and shuts down. So she's very mm-hmm. much that bratty child who needed more attention growing up. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, part of her story is how she had all these special gifts, but then no one would believe her about them, mm-hmm. that her parents like wanted to cure her of them. So it definitely feels like there is some deep rooted need to be special and to be recognized for that specialness that drives a lot of her actions.
Yeah. What was your first impression of her?
Well, it's interesting because, like, yeah, if I were to, like, just thinking back, just look her up, just, like, see a picture of her or even some of the videos, like, I think that's the dangerous part is that she's, like, she's a beautiful woman. So you wouldn't associate, like, cult leader with, like...
And you're just, gay and you're calling her beautiful.
Yeah, and so I think that's just the dangerous part because, like, that's just an easy, like, in to the path of Teal Swan, so...
And to be honest, it is much more rare to see cult leaders that are female.
That too.
Like, you see it a lot more in men. And so I think a lot of times there's also pushback then when we're like saying, hey, this person is kind of culty. Because it's like, what?
Yeah.
This influencer who's just beautiful and obviously has a great skin routine. Look at her clear, beautiful skin. We got to see her hair routine.
Yeah, that was interesting.
She had to do it herself by the end because Blake left her.
Poor girl.
Poor girl.
Yeah,
that's so sad.
I wonder if he's maintained it. I hope he still has not gone back.
Yeah, so what we're referring to is Teal got into it with Blake's wife, who had come here from Germany to live with Blake and be part of this group.
This woman gave up her life.
Yeah.
So, and that's another thing that we see. We see people giving up their lives, sometimes in smaller ways, but like this is someone that went to one of her like week-long retreats, had a connection with Blake, but also was really passionate about Teal and the good that she did and her teachings. So she left her family in Germany to move to be part of the inner circle. And I think probably one of the biggest issues there was obviously her connection with Blake, who Teal sees as very important to holding her world together, but also how beautiful, like,
yeah,
beautiful without effort this young woman is that came into the picture. And there was a moment when she was doing the channeling and she kind of supported her in that. And afterwards she was like really giddy about it. Like, oh, we did really good. Like, we could work yeah. great together. You kind of saw her cogs
yeah.
turning, but I felt like what you saw in the girl who would come out was like some kind of like anxiousness about like that didn't quite feel right. Like, I was saying things that I don't know I should have been saying. Like, there was started to be doubt, especially when I think Teal putting out there is like, oh, we could do good things together. Like, it felt manipulative. And I think that's where she started to have that switch and like, is she helping people?
Well, and did you get the impression that that conversation was them congratulating the wife that she was able to? Because she's the one who channeled the mom and forgave, his name was Amir, for the treatment she gave him growing up. So did you get the impression that she knew she didn't channel the mom? That she just play-acted well?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it came much very like, oh, you handled that good.
Yeah, that was like the unspoken thing that I got out of that whole conversation.
Which is crazy because it's all filmed.
Like. Yeah, and they knew it was filmed. Yeah. I guess they probably trusted the film crew so much that they were like, yeah, we can do whatever we want. They're not going to put it in. Mm-hmm.
And we will say that if you want Teal's take on the documentary, she has a couple of videos on her YouTube responding to the episodes. And they're heavily, heavily edited. Like, she can't say a whole paragraph without it being chopped into multiple bits. And a big part of her trying to convince everyone that she was bamboozled and taken advantage of is that she shares like some of the videos of the film crew, directors type people talking with her, the videos they sent on her birthday. And she's like, why would they say these things if they didn't believe in me? And it's like, well, they were kind of doing an expose on you and they needed your trust. Of course, they're going to be saying you hold up the sun because that's what you need to hear to let people into your circle.
Well, plus they were with her. This documentary is filmed over 4 years. Mm-hmm. So whether they believe her or not, you're going to form relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, like I watch people that I care about do stuff sometimes that I'm like, I don't support that, but I love you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was funny. But yeah, if you haven't yet watched The Deep End, watch Teal's take on The Deep End, because she does a video for every episode. It is funny, like you said, Rachel, her videos are so edited, but yet she's mad that the show is edited, but she's edited more than the show.
So more. Like, can't even get a full sentence out with having a cut in the middle of it, or it like fades to black and fades back in. It's like, wow.
It's kind of like, because everyone knows I'm such a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, where a lot of the queens get mad if they're in a bad light because they were edited that way. And we know editing happens,
we
but
do.
At a certain point, like, you still said those things. You still congratulated the new girl on channeling a fake spirit. You still said, like, there was a point where one of Teal's members was likely, like, saying she was going to commit suicide. And Teal's first response was, I can't use that PR, you know, basically. And then she kind of corrected herself and was like, and I don't want her to be in a danger to herself. So it's like, I see where your heart is, babe. And nobody edited anything right there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was a solid encounter. Yeah. And there's no light or situation that you could say around this that would make that seem better.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something that was taken out of context. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. All right. Did we have anything else to add before we look at our tenants?
I think we covered all the important things. I will say, her team is very good at controlling what gets out there on the internet. I think that's why The Deep End ended up being such a huge bombshell for her, because even though there are tons of videos out there, people that are questioning Teal Swan as far as trying to get factual stuff out there, it's a little bit more challenging. So she has her team on high alert to try to manage all that damage.
Yep, but the truth is out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, and if you do want to watch Deep End, it's on Hulu if you want to catch it there, or if you have Freeform as well.
Yes, and the podcast that I listened to was called The Gateway, Teal Swan on Gizmodo, but you can get it on Spotify or anything like that. And it was Jennings Brown was the person that kind of did the deep dive on that and was there. It was really interesting. I loved it because it was also a pre-pandemic view of things. So it was when they still had their retreat center out in Costa Rica. And I looked at that, and it still has an active, like, the website still exists. They still have social for it, but nothing has been updated since 2020. So I think, unfortunately, Filia is not actively a part of any. And it was weird to me that Filia is not mentioned in this at all. Like, she has the retreats, but it didn't mention anything about the Costa Rica location, which was like a permanent location for a while.
Okay, interessant.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, let's go through our cabos. It's been so long since I've said cabos.
Yeah.
So, charismatic leader.
I mean, people find her charismatic. They do.
I think she's less charismatic in, like, the way she speaks and the way she, like, draws you in vocally. I think where she's charismatic is she is very good at presenting herself as someone who understands you and understands your depression. And I've been there, and I know how to get you out of it. So I can see how she draws people in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Alienation.
I mean, yes. If you're part of her inner circle, it's part of the non-negotiables. Like, Teal comes before your family.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. That's really bad.
She puts it in writing. And later on, she puts it in writing, like, that you cannot have children.
She doesn't want to be woken up by kids.
She doesn't want that. It's really annoying when kids wake you up in the middle of the night and you have to do a big talk the next day.
And especially after losing Blake because of his bitch wife.
Oh, my
she
gosh.
She needs to control them relationships. She doesn't lose anybody else.
She needs to sign off on your partner, or preferably you just don't have a partner.
Preferably. Can you just be abstinent? Like, it's so much easier for me.
Yes.
How about a belief system?
She has some interesting beliefs.
Yeah.
And definitely I feel like her dedication to the completion process, like, that's a very big belief there.
Outside evil. Alan.
Yeah, Doc.
I feel like she creates an evil of people's, like, parents and traumas. I guess even in her store, there are shirts that say, like, I have mommy issues or I have daddy issues, then with her logo on it, because there's just so many traumas that we've received from our parents. So,
and that's another way for her to alienate her.
Exactly.
Too.
Mm-hmm. I love my parents.
We're good.
How about a sense of community?
Yeah. Huge sense of community.
Yeah. So it looks like, especially with this inner circle, this is a very culty vibe.
Yeah, I would say inner circle especially is very culty. Then when you kind of get to the people that are so dedicated that they've been to multiple of these workshops, there's even like a light cult light vibe there. And then as you kind of step back further to people going to the one day workshops or just looking online, it's not as heavy, but like those are the tools that help them find people to bring into the circle.
It's so sad to me that a lot of these groups do play on people who are depressed, are looking for something more. So they find a way to monetize that or take advantage sexually or, you know, any way to further themselves, the leader.
Yeah.
I do. Rachel and I have our favorite moment when the private investigator.
Oh, God.
She knows how they're going to react to her video calling them a cult. So she shows the scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark when they're putting the Ark of the Covenant into storage. She's like, that's where my report's going to go.
deep into government secret storage.
And Rachel and I were like, I instantly understand you because you have said this.
We are
movies.
Connected. Well, and I even loved, I felt like she would also did the same kind of like look at things that we do at the end. We're like, okay, is this a cult? Like, what are the things that make a cult? And I even love the fact that she like went deep enough into it to be like your general teaching, no. But this thing you got going on with your inner group, she sat down with Teal, tried to go over these non-negotiables and be like, this is a problem. Like, you cannot ask this of people and then say you're not a cult.
Anytime you're told to put one person over family who is not like a deity, like that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, this was an interesting one. I'm glad we finally got to her, and especially at this very opportune moment, to be the side dish to your deep end viewing pleasure.
Yes. Ooh. So as you're binging all things Teal Swan right now, enjoy this episode.
Yes. In 2 weeks, we will be back with the Soka Gakkai International. Hopefully we learn how to pronounce it by the time that we look into it.
I believe in us.
I believe in us too.
I was like, Ahsoka Tano? That's the wrong podcast.
Speaking of other podcasts.
Speaking of, where can we find you?
You can find me on A Real Bodice Ripper, a podcast about romance novels and how they're a little bit problematic at times.
How about you, Alan?
You can find all of us on the Marvelous Galaxy of Disney podcast.
Yay! Yeah, Rachel has officially joined us on Margal Diz.
It's super fun.
Because she's a nerd like me, and that's why we love each other, even as a man and a woman reversed in past lives.
It's true. It's true.
And you can find me with Kevin on Hanging with the Hollowells last week, and actually tomorrow. You can either watch us doing Titty Time on Instagram, where we recorded live with no shirts, or you can listen to it tomorrow. We're doing the final episode, season 8 of Charmed, of the whole series. And you can find us on Solving for X, where we are doing the X-Men show. We just started season 2, which Morph comes back in and Mr. Sinister shows up.
Ooh.
I love it. There.
Oh my.
All right, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening.
Bye.